welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Lipponier. Drama coming up in this hour. Later on, a moving story from March Obler on Plays for Americans. But right now, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense, in which the leading men of the Gunsmoke radio show, William Conrad, who is Marshal Matt Dillon, and Farley Bear, who is Deputy Chester Proudfoot, star in this episode directed by Gunsmoke director Norman McDonald. It's called The Shot. Heard on December 2nd, 1954 on CBS.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the story of a duel, an incomplete duel, since one of its participants chooses to wait and owe his adversary. So now, starring William Conrad with John Daner, here is tonight's suspense play, The Shot.
Everyone's here, I see.
You're late, Rolls.
As I stopped to pick these. Cherry, anyone? No? They're delicious.
For a man who's about to die, you don't seem too concerned.
Well, I am concerned, Peyton. I have a whole hat full of delicious cherries that certainly have to be eaten. And on the other hand, Peyton, I'm not certain that I have to die.
You will draw lots, gentlemen. The papers in this hat are numbered from 1 to 10. You'll each draw a paper. The man who receives the highest number will fire the first shot.
Well, after you, Lieutenant Peyton. And good luck.
Your draw, sir. Mr. Peyton.
I draw 8.
Ah. Now, I have drawn 10.
Mr. Rolls wins the first shot. Back to back. You will pace away until the count of 8 is completed. Mr. Rolls has the first shot. You, Mr. Peyton, will return his shot. Understood?
Yes. Understood.
Is anyone present here who finds this not an honorable way to settle the dispute between these two men? You ready, gentlemen?
All ready.
Ready.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mr. Peyton, are you all right? Are you hit?
No, I'm all right. Bullet went through my hat.
It's your shot, Lieutenant Peyton.
Yes, I know.
Cherries, wonderful. You seem so anxious to kill me, sir. Do I have to remind you that you have a shot at me? Go ahead. Take it.
No. Not now.
Zachary, he's taking his shot at you. You have to take your shot at him.
Shut up. I don't have to do anything. Yet.
You challenged him to a duel, Zachary.
Quiet.
Would you like to take your shot from here, Peyton?
No. You don't seem ready for death this morning, Rolls.
You're wrong again, sir. I'm always ready for death or life. You've disappointed me, Peyton.
Have I?
Or perhaps I've disappointed you. At any rate, all of these gentlemen witnessed that I went through my part of the challenge. Now, witness this. You still have your shot, Peyton. And if you aren't afraid to use it, I'll always be ready for you. Any day, any place.
I'll remember that, Rolls.
Please do, sir. Good day, gentlemen. It's a lovely morning.
Zachary, he'll tell everyone about this. You'll be ruined. You can't expect to stay in the regiment now.
Why deprive him of life when he attaches no value to it?
You ended the duel your way, and it's not an honorable way, Zachary.
The duel is not ended. You heard him. All of you heard him. I still have my shot coming. And I'll take it. I'll choose the day. And I'll choose the place. And then I'll see if he still wants to eat cherries and laugh down the barrel of my gun.
Yes? What do you want?
I brought your mail.
Open the door. Set it there on the table, Mr. Temple. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Oh, I didn't know you had a visitor.
Mr. Stockwell, this is Mr. Temple, my landlord.
How do you do, Mr. Temple?
Colonel Stockwell, Virginia Volunteer.
Mr. Stockwell, now, Mr. Temple. There's no longer a Confederate Army or a Confederacy.
I forget sometimes, sir. I served under you in the 3rd Volunteers, and I...
Mr. Temple had quite a career as a soldier, Jim. He's told me about it every day since I took this room.
Only thing left to talk about now, Colonel. There's nothing but carpetbaggers and Yankees.
We all know how it is, Mr. Temple.
Was there anything else?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Those are fine dueling pistols, Mr. Peyton.
I have already admired Mr. Peyton's firearms.
Would you believe how good Mr. Peyton is with it, Colonel? Why, he lies right here on his bed and fires away at a little old playing card stuck on the fence post out there and back. Hits it every time. Some shooting, I declare. Mr. Peyton practices all the time.
Is that all, Mr. Temple?
What?
I ask if that was all. Is there something else you have to say?
It's my wife, Mr. Peyton. I mean, Libby don't like it. She don't understand how it is with a man and a gun. Women are like that. I keep telling her these are hard times, and we surely appreciate getting a man in here who can pay us a little rent, but then she just don't know.
Then tell her. Tell her, Mr. Temple. I practice shooting in all kinds of light from all positions, and I'll continue to do it. Good day, Mr. Temple.
Yes, sir. Good day to you both.
Jim?
No thanks.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't changed too much, Zachary. A little gray.
It's been 7 years now.
Now, Zach, maybe you have changed. The man who was just here was afraid of you.
Scared, shrinking little man.
If I might comment, Zach, you didn't do anything to alleviate his fright.
He used his wife as an excuse. It's not his wife, it's him. He's frightened of my gun. He knows what I can do with it.
But that means nothing to you? He has no bearing on your life?
True. But it comes to him that a gun pointed at a card stuck on a fence can just as easily be pointed at a heart stuck in a man's chest.
Would you mind putting those pistols back in the case?
You afraid too, Jim.
I'm not a Willis Temple. Don't treat me like that, Zachary. I'm your friend. I came here to meet you because you asked me.
There. Better.
Why am I here, Zachary? What do you want of me?
A week ago, I received a letter from Norfolk. It mentioned that an old acquaintance of mine is living here. A man who was an officer in my regiment. His name is Benjamin Rolls.
Oh.
Do you know him, Jim?
Slightly. I've seen him around town, spoken to him once or twice.
How does he look these days?
Well, not knowing how he looked when you knew him, I'd say he looks mighty fine, Zach. He's in good health, I think. And he's done better than most of us. I understand his family lost all they had at Savannah, but there's an English branch that died off and filled in the inheritance. He's very well off. Marsha Pemberton's considered to be a very, very lucky young lady in these parts.
Marsha Pemberton?
The girl he married last week.
Does he love her?
What?
Do you know if he loves this girl he married?
Well, it's apparent to everybody in town that he loves her very much. When he was courting her, folks in town saw him together often. I saw him. I would say Ben Rolls is in love. The way a man loves only once in his life. Is that what you want to know?
Yes.
Why?
It's important for me to know.
Because I'm your friend, Zachary, I'm talking to you about Ben Rolls, but I'm uncomfortable. I don't like talking about a man. You see over there, that large white house on the hill?
Yes, I see it.
That's where Ben lives. He's right there, Zachary. You can talk to him instead of me. I won't answer any more questions, Zachary. Zachary, why do you want to know these things about Ben Rhodes?
I want to satisfy myself that he's at last found something to live for. I want to know if he can still laugh down a gun barrel.
I heard about that duel. I won't let you do this thing, Zachary. There's been enough killing.
Jim!
Yes?
Jim, I'd hate to kill you, too.
Zachary?
Jim Stockwell?
Yes.
Who are your friends?
This is Pauk Yeager and Quincy Talbot. We were in the Army together, Zach.
How do, Miss Payton?
Pauk and Quincy were executive officers for me in the 3rd Cavalry. We served together at Appomattox.
What do you and your friends want, Jim?
I want to talk to you about Ben Rhodes some more, Zach. I've told Pauk and Quincy all you told me. They're close friends to me now, and I've asked them to assist me.
That's right, Captain. Mr. Stockwell's told us everything.
Zach, the war did many things to all of us. Everything we thought and lived for is gone now, but we are still human beings. You want to kill Ben Rhodes tonight. This is what the war has done to you, Zach. And this is what I want to talk about. Wanting to kill a man in cold blood, a man you haven't seen for 7 years or better, doesn't make sense. I'm your friend, Zachary, and I want to help you.
Go home, Jim. Pauk, Quincy, this is none of your business.
We can't do that, Zachary. We can't let you go in and shoot Ben Rhodes in cold blood.
Let's all go upstairs to your room and talk a bit, Captain. Quincy's got some fine whiskeys that come in from Ireland, haven't you, Quincy?
No, I sure have, Captain. It's Jameson's. You're a man I'd be proud to share it with.
Captain, Mr. Stockwell is your friend, and he's thinking of you.
Is Ben Rhodes your friend, too, Jim? Are you trying to protect him?
What I know of Ben Rhodes, I told you this afternoon.
Get out of my way.
You'll have to kill me first, Zachary. Kill these two boys who never done you any harm. But I won't let you go over there.
No.
Oh, Quincy! You're a fool, Zachary. A fool. Now stop it. All right, Pop, it's the only way. All right, let me down there. Quincy, hand me that whiskey.
Yes, sir.
I'll get his head, Mr. Stockwell.
All right, here. Here. I'm sorry, Zachary. Sometimes we all go about things the wrong way. I'm noted for my poor judgment in many matters.
Jim, ask him to wait over there.
All right, pal. Quincy, over there.
Sure it's all right, Mr. Stockwell.
Captain Peyton is a man of honor.
Come on, Quincy. Be right over by the trees, sir.
Jim. Jim, I have to kill him. I have to before I can ever live again. I hate him, Jim. When you've lived with a hate as long as I've lived with it, there's nothing else you can do.
Zach, it would solve nothing. Killing Ben Rhodes.
Why do you think I resigned my commission before the war was over? Why do you think I disappeared from the Confederacy? Why do you think I never returned to my home?
I heard you'd done all those things. I didn't ask any questions because you're my friend.
Ben Rhodes is the cause of everything. One night, in front of the whole regiment, he slapped me.
Over what? Why?
A girl. Just a girl we both liked. I don't even remember her name. No, everybody had seen it coming. Until Rhodes joined the regiment, I was the most popular officer with my fellow officers and the ladies.
But Zachary, that was then.
And this is now. But my life stopped then, Jim. Jim, try to remember how it was then in the early stages when the North was dying and not the South.
was so fashionable to be young and reckless and brave. And an officer in the Confederate Army. And then to be slapped by a man more brave, more reckless, more everything. It was too much.
Zach, those days are gone. Forget them. The whole way of life is different now.
It's no different for him.
Zach.
And it's no different for me, Jim.
Can you kill a man for something that happened then?
He shot at me once. Now I owe him a shot. You know that, Jim.
Yes, Zachary. You owe him a shot. Go ahead.
You, letting him go, Mr. Stockwell?
Yes. I can't stop him. It's between him and Ben Rolls now.
Understand you have some business with me, sir. I don't usually receive people who refuse to give their names to my servants.
Hello, Rolls.
You... What?
Don't you recognize me?
Zachary Payton. What are you doing here?
I owe you a shot, Rolls. And I've come to pay off.
I see.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I told you I always would be.
Yes, you did. And you ask me to remember it. You don't seem quite as certain as you were the last time we met. Is there something wrong?
I believe we were at 8 paces before.
Yes. Do you mind if I count?
I'll count.
As you will, Rose. Back to back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 7, 8.
Shoot, man. Shoot. Do it quickly.
You seem in a hurry to die, Mr. Rolls.
It's Marsha, my wife. She'll be coming home any minute.
Ah, well, in that case, we'd better get on with it, then.
Shoot!
You know, I apologize, Mr. Rolls, that this pistol isn't loaded with cherry stones. You have no idea how often I've dreamed of cherry stone bullets since last we met. I think they would be somewhat lighter than lead.
Shoot.
Rolls, this doesn't seem to me like a duel anymore. It's just plain murder. And if I'm anything, I will not be called a murderer. You must understand that I've had quite a long lecture on why I shouldn't be doing this. I don't like shooting an unarmed man. Well, there's another pistol in my case, all loaded. Take it, and then we can start over. You hesitate, Mr. Rolls.
I do not hesitate, sir. I'm ready now.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Rolls. Your shot.
What?
You may have the first shot. I'm ready. Well, sir, you have broken a candle holder and ruined a picture. Now I truly owe you a shot.
Ben! Ben, what is this? What's the matter? Oh, Ben, you all right?
I'm fine, Marsha, fine. Well, truly I am. Can't you see we're just joking?
Joking?
Now, don't be so frightened. I'll tell you what. Find Abrams and ask him to bring up some nice wine. And then I'll introduce you to my old friend here.
Tell me, sir, is my husband telling the truth? Ben, is it true you're just joking?
He's always joking, Mrs. Rolls. Once he slapped me in the face for a joke. Another time he put a bullet through my cap for a joke. And just now he fired a gun at me and missed. Another joke. Now I think I'll have my little joke and end this.
joking.
Ben, this is the man Peyton you told me
Leave
about.
Leave the room. Marcia, this is between us. This man has a right to shoot at me. I wouldn't have any honor if I didn't allow.
Oh, no.
Shoot, Peyton. Shoot, man, and stop making her suffer for me. Will you fire or not?
No. No, sir. I will not fire. I'm satisfied. I've seen you afraid. I forced you to fire at me. That's enough. You'll remember me all your life, Rawls. I'll leave you to your conscience. Now, as for that shot, here it is. Goodbye, Mr. Rawls.
Zachary, you did it. You took your shot.
Yes, I put it in the picture. Right next to his shot.
Zach. Zach, he's still alive. You could have killed him, but he's alive.
He's fine, Jim. And still the bravest man I ever met. Let's go, Jim.
Suspense, in which William Conrad starred as Peyton with John Daner as Rawls.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from December 2nd, 1954. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now it's time for Plays for Americans, presented by radio writer and director Arch Obler. Though Obler is best known in the old-time radio history books for his work with the horror show Lights Out, when Hitler was beginning to rise to power in the 1930s, he quickly became fed up and started authoring not only patriotic but at times scathing works for radio, painting audio pictures for the country of what it might become if the Axis won the Second World War. This from The Thick of It, from June 21, 1942 on NBC. It's the Plays for Americans show with his story, Adolf and Mrs. Runyon.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Plays for Americans. By Arch Obler. For these past 20 weeks, the National Broadcasting Company has been bringing you a special series of new plays by Arch Obler, dedicated to men and women of goodwill everywhere who believe in the inherent dignity of all men and who fight together now for a better world for all. Today, we bring you the final broadcast of the special series. The star, Miss Betty Davis. The play, Adolf and Miss Runyon. The scene, an automobile headed from New York toward New England on the Boston Post Road. There's one person in the car, Mary Runyon. And as she drives, her hands are tight on the steering wheel, and her lips are moving. She's not talking to anyone in the car. She's quite alone. She's saying the things that she'd been unable to say just a short while before when she'd seen her husband off on a train. A train taking him away to an army camp. Listen to Mary Runyon.
There was a young lady from Maine who saw her husband off on a train. And then she drove home and vowed not to roam until the war and her husband. Oh, Michael. Michael, it's no use. I know I promised, but I tell you it's no use. 20 minutes since the train left, and I'm already crying. Oh, Michael. All right, Michael. All right, I know what you'd say, darling. Chin up. Michael, I'm going to keep my chin up so high I'll have to wear my hat on it. But, Michael, I'm going to be so lonely. I don't think... No, I've got to stop thinking about that. Think about Yes, your uniform. Mike, how will you look in a uniform? Like that picture we have of Napoleon? Oh, no, you're much too tall. Like the postman? Oh, Michael, if you don't send me letters every day, I'm going all the way down to Texas and sit on your doorstep. I mean, your tent step. I mean, Michael, why did it have to happen? That Hitler. Mother in heaven, if I only had him here. Why, what's the engine? Why, oh, gas. I forgot to buy gas. Oh, Mike, and I told you I could take care of myself. Now take it easy, Jenny. Keep rolling. Keep rolling. There's a nice gas station right up ahead, and you can make it if you just try hard. Nice, Jenny. Keep rolling. Keep rolling. Jenny, pay no attention to your engine. Just keep your wheels turning. Just 20 more feet. 10, 5. Now up the driveway. Nice girl. Jenny, you made it. You're a lady and a scholar and a darn good automobile.
Did you say something, ma'am?
What? Oh, no, I was talking to the car. 5 gallons regular, please.
5, ma'am?
Oh, that's right. I mean 3.
Yes.
Money, I don't think I have any. Where's my purse? Oh, 50, 60. Michael, remember, I was the one who made speeches how well I could get along without a boss man around the house. And the moment you're gone, I lose...
Did you say something, ma'am?
No, I'm still talking to myself.
Sure, I know how it is, ma'am. I do lots of talking to myself these days. That'll be 60 cents even, ma'am.
Yes, here you are.
Thank you.
Why do you say you talk to yourself these days?
Well, you see, ma'am, for the last couple of years, I've had a helper here at the station, and for the last couple of weeks, I haven't had him anymore. He went and joined the Navy.
Oh.
Even though Joe ain't here, I kind of keep talking to him as if he was here.
Yes, I know.
Ma'am?
Nothing. Do you mind wiping off the windshield while I see if the engine starts?
Oh, sure. I keep talking, and I don't mind my business.
Now, Jenny, be a lady. Thank you, Jenny.
All set, ma'am.
Thank you. Getting dark, I better turn the lights. Michael, you'll be having your dinner on the train. On our honeymoon. Remember, we... No. I've got to stop feeling so darn sorry for myself. You're doing what you want to do, Michael, and I'll do what you want me to. Tomorrow morning, school again. Children, on this, my very first day as your teacher, I'm going to tell you a few simple truths. This geography book I'm going to teach you out of is a fraud. It's as out of date as your Aunt Minnie's bustle. Get out of the road, you crazy hitchhiker, you. Go ahead, wave at me. I wouldn't pick you up, not even if... Oh, uniform. Come ahead, soldier. Got to be good to the army now, haven't I, Michael?
Oh, mes personnes, Sie sahen mich, ja? Warum blieben Sie nicht stehen?
All right, soldier. Stop the double talk and get in. Where to, soldier? I said, where to? Look, soldier, I'm talking to you and I...
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
It... Oh, no, it can't be.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Oh, no.
Sind Sie verrückt? Oh. Warum bleiben Sie nicht stehen? Ich befehle Ihnen, weiter zu fahren. Du dummes Weib. Haben Sie mich nicht gehört? Ich habe Ihnen befohlen, weiterzufahren.
Soldier, you actually had me going for a few minutes. That phony little mustache and that phony German you're speaking. Why, Believe it or not, for a minute I actually thought you were Hitler.
Hi, Hitler.
Hi, you, mister. That's a terrific act you put on. Now, tell me where you want to go and what's it all about.
Sprich Deutsch, sprich Deutsch, sprich Deutsch.
Soldier, I've already told you. I appreciate the gag, but enough's enough.
Fräulein, do you not speak German?
No, I do not speak German. Why don't you drop that phony accent?
English. Are you English?
Only on my great-grandmother's side.
What are you doing here? Answer me.
Look here, don't you use that tone of voice to me. I don't like
Antworten
it.
Antworten mir!
Dear God.
What are you doing here?
But it can't be.
What cannot be? Answer me!
You are him.
My English, I do not know what you are saying.
You are Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
I am either dreaming or crazy.
Crazy? You're crazy. I know that word. You are crazy. An English woman here, you are crazy. Why have you come here? No matter. To Berchtesgaden. Drive me back to Berchtesgaden.
Berchtesgaden.
Oh, that guard of mine. What I'll do with them. My elite guard, my own elite guard. Every man will be shot. I'm walking along the path. Sudden dizziness in my head. I close my eyes. I open my eyes. I'm on a strange road. And my guard? Gone. Gone where? Shot. Shot. Every one of them will be
I
shot.
I wish to God that Hitler was here. And now he is.
I know it is a plot against me. Himmler, too. He will be shot. All of them. All of them. Faster. Drive me faster.
Drive you where?
To Mengländer in Berchtesgaden. I told you, Berchtesgaden.
You don't know where you are, do you?
Do not ask me questions to Berchtesgaden.
I'm afraid I can't drive you there. I can't drive you there.
What is your name? Answer me.
Mary Runyon.
Mary? That is verboten. Your husband?
In the army.
So? There's a plot. One of my guardsmen with a Engländerin wife, huh? Oh, no, you don't. Back. Turn back. Back. Or I shoot.
It won't do any good to shove that gun against me.
Back. For the last time, I order you to turn back.
It wouldn't do any good. To turn back.
I cannot drive a motor car. You must drive me.
There's no turning back. You are not where you think you are.
Stop saying that. Where am I?
America.
America? And why am I in America, crazy one?
Because I wish to God I had you here. And somehow
Stupid
God...
Ich bin der Führer. Ich bin der Führer. The Führer, the Führer, the Führer, the Führer, the Führer!
I don't know what you said, but it doesn't make any difference. God did it, and you're in America. I'll prove it to you. I'll stop and show you.
No, do not stop.
Well, I'll prove it to you anyway. Turn on the spotlight and look at that sign.
Sign? What is sign?
Advertisement alongside of the road. There, we're passing it. You seem to know English. Can't you read?
The word? I do not know. All right. You will keep driving the motor car ahead. At the next patrol, you will stop. They will take care of you, you crazy Engländerin.
You still don't believe this isn't Germany. All right, at the crossroads ahead, I'll prove it to you.
No. Go.
Stop poking that gun at me. There's the crossroads sign. Look at it.
You give orders to me?
Look at the sign. Read.
Well, New York, 55. Boston, New York. New York!
I told you. Look at the car you're driving in. Can't you see it's American? And look at me. Can't you see I'm an American?
It cannot be. No! America? I, the Führer, in America? That cannot be.
Is that any more impossible than the fact that almost all the people of Europe in just a few months have become slaves? And is it any more impossible that an ignorant Austrian house painter, you, has become their slaver?
Who are you?
I told you, Mary Runyon, an American. I just saw my husband off on a train. He's on his way to an army camp. I was so unhappy, I started to think about you and the misery you brought to me, and I cried out to God. And here you are. That's all there seems to be to it.
America.
America. So it's really happened.
A plot.
I suppose you've always been afraid of a plot against you. But this time, God...
God, 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 close your mouth, woman. Hitler. I am Hitler, the chosen one, the Führer of the world, Führer of the new order.
When I used to hear you on the radio, I thought you were a very funny little man.
I told you to close your mouth. I order it.
I don't think you're funny anymore. You've caused too many tears. No. You aren't funny at all, are you?
I will have you shot.
That's your usual solution, isn't it?
A plot. Himmler. Yeah, Himmler. He had me drugged. Brought to America.
Why are you laughing? Don't you believe you're in America?
Fools. All of them fools. They think they can get rid of me in America. You will drive me someplace. I will sit. I will hide. I will wait. And soon my army will be here. And I, their Führer, will come forth and confound the enemy.
As simple as that, isn't it?
Why do you talk? Listen to me. Plan. Everything is with plan. If I'm in America, so I will wait in America. My army, my Luftwaffe, they will be here. It is in the plan. You will put me someplace where I will be quite safe. I will wait.
Will I, really?
Why? It will be your honor. In the new order, perhaps there will be a small place for you if it fits the great plan.
You aren't frightened at all, are you?
Fright? Afraid? You simple woman, you. Have you not ears to hear the words I say? What have I to fear? America, South America, Canada? All will be part of my new order. All I must do is wait. It's in my geopolitic bureau's plans. The conquest of the world for the Deutsche Gesellschaft. Nothing has been forgotten.
Oh, that's where you're wrong.
What?
Oh, you have forgotten something. You and your planning bureau.
Nothing, nothing has been forgotten.
Oh, yes, it has.
What?
Look, Adolf, there ahead.
What?
Those lights. That's our factory working. Working all night. That's part of the anger of America. Look at those lights. They are the lights of your doom.
Stop it. Do not say that word. Let them work. Let them work day. Let them work night. I tell you, it is too late.
Oh, no, it isn't.
You, woman, by what right do you disagree?
By what right? By every right.
Stop! I order you.
You stop ordering me and listen. You said we were too late, and I suppose that was part of your plan to keep us from doing anything until it was too late. But I tell you, you're wrong. Look at those factories. The men and the women working there, they know they're not too late. You and your generals and your planning boards. One thing, that Americans are people who don't get going until they're angry. As all America is angry
I
now.
Order
as
you
I am to... angry now. A month ago tonight, I was married. You hear that? Married. Do you know what marriage means? A man and a woman, a life together. A life together. We're not going to have that life together, Michael and I. Oh, I'm not fooling myself. I know it. We're being cheated out of what's everybody's right. Living together and growing together and having children. And why? Why? You and your gangsters. I prayed to God that you were here, and now I pray to God that you will die.
You will be shot? So, you are not so brave, huh?
I realized.
Huh?
Yes, that's why he did it.
What?
That's why he did it. That's why he put you here.
Who is he?
God, that's why he did
it. Oh, who cares about your God? What are you saying? What are you thinking? Why is your faith? What do you think you are going to do?
You're not so brave now.
Answer me!
I'm going to kill you.
What?
What did you say?
I'm going to kill you.
Stop the motor. Stop the motor!
No.
For it, stop the motor! Gun, I shoot you. Stop the motor. For the last time.
Wait a minute. Look.
Look at what?
The speedometer. The speed. Look at the speed we're going.
Stop. You crazy woman. You stop. I will shoot. I swear it. I will shoot.
At this speed? Oh, no, you won't.
I will shoot you for the last time.
All right, go ahead. Shoot. Shoot. The steering wheel will go out of my hands and we'll both die. I want you to die.
Slow up the motor. Listen to me. The motor. Slow it up. I order you.
No.
The bells. Don't listen to me. I am ordering you. I, the Führer.
You'll be the Führer of the worms.
They will pull you to pieces, my soldiers. One more chance. Listen to my order. Stop this car.
No.
Jawohl. You are a woman of one mind. Huh? I understand you. Such a woman I can understand. I, too, have always been of one mind.
Have you really?
Yeah. To know what one has to do and to do it. You think you must kill me. But even as the whole world, you have a great, admiration for me, no?
No.
Speed, so great. If you could slow down so I could talk to you.
No.
But it's not of myself I'm thinking. It's of you.
Really?
Yeah, you can believe me on my honor. I'm thinking of your safety. If you would just slow down a little. Whatever your plan is to kill me, I do not know. But if you would slow down just a little so that I can explain certain matters to you. I swear that I will take no advantage. I assure you, Fräulein, as a gentleman,
stop.
And as an officer...
Stop it, I tell you.
What?
You're wasting your breath. I heard you the first time.
When?
Just before you march into the Sudetenland. Czechoslovakians, I am thinking of your safety. If you will give me Sudetenland, I swear to you I will take no advantage. You can believe me on my honor. Remember?
Well, those were... different times.
Yes, you were in the driver's seat.
Fräulein, woman, I do not know what your plan is to kill me, but you must slow down. You must listen to me. I told you, you are a woman I can understand and admire, and so I can talk to you and explain. You and I have no quarrel. We must stand shoulder to shoulder against our common enemies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You're the persecutors. They want to take away what you have. Their long fingers reach to all the nations. I alone stand between them and you. I alone will save you from the future Bolshevism.
Stop.
What?
I've heard that line before, too.
Huh?
At Munich. Appease me, brothers, and I'll save you from the menace of the Russians.
You do not understand me.
No.
Yeah, that is the difficulty. America does not understand me. I am a good, simple man. I think only of the people. If you could understand me, you could explain me to America. You could be the hero of all America.
Mrs. Quisling?
Do not talk. Listen to me. I told you, I admire you. I admire few women. I give you great honor. I do not know how you intend to kill me, but if you would slow down and stop the motor, I could work out some great, advantage to you.
Do tell me.
You are a wise woman. I interest you, huh? You could have money, beautiful houses, jewelry. We have only the best.
The best that you could steal.
Woman, will you listen? Why should you kill me? Soon I will no longer be the leader. Why then kill me?
What do you say?
Oh, it is the truth. Peace is coming. Peace. A glorious peace. And I will step down from my high place to bring this peace. Well, why do you just look ahead? Slow down the car, woman.
I know of that peace. Yes, The phony peace that will come when you and your gangsters think you are beaten. You will go back to Berchtesgaden and they will say, look, we have thrown over Hitler. Peace, it's wonderful, but it won't be wonderful. The minute we believe and put down our guns, you'll start a new war, a more terrible one. You won't fool us with your phony peace, Adolf. Believe me.
You stop it. Stop the motor. My nerves, I cannot endure the speed. Tell me. You must tell me, where are you driving? What are you going to do to me?
Keep on driving straight ahead.
And then?
A few miles ahead, the road turns to the right. But we won't turn to the right. We'll keep going straight ahead. Into a concrete wall.
Oh.
A concrete wall.
No. No, you won't. You cannot. If I die, you die. You would not do that. I know it. I know it. You would
not. You're so positive I won't die to kill you, aren't you? Oh, well, you're wrong. As wrong as you've always been about America and Americans. I'll die to kill you gladly. Any one of us would die to put an end to you. Oh, you'd better start believing that, Adolf Hitler, because in a few minutes you're going to die. You're going to die.
Nein.
You do believe.
No, you will not kill me. Ich darf nicht sterben. I am the leader of the world. Ich bin der Herr, der Welt, der Meister, der Führer. Es ist mein Schicksal. It was mein Destiny. I'm afraid to die. Lieber Gott, I'm afraid to die. Ich fürchte den Tod, mörder mich nicht. Do not kill me. Do not.
Michael, listen, he's crying. Michael, I started this trip talking to you as if you were here, and I'm ending it that way. If you could hear him, Michael. He's crying. Tears from such a creature aren't the same as tears from other people, are they? I never could stand tears, Michael, could I? But his tears are unclean. Yes, Michael, that's what it is. He's something unclean. Something out of a part of mankind's... Yes, out of a part of mankind's past history. The brutality, the cruelty we thought would never come back into the world. And I'm going to kill him, Michael. In just a few seconds more. Kill him and rid the world of him. Oh, I know. I know that killing him won't solve the whole problem, Michael. When he's gone, the symbol of the terrible thing he stands for will be gone, and the blinded people on his side will be frightened, and the people on our side will fight harder, and we'll win faster. Oh, we'll win faster. And then there'll be a peace, a real peace, and the little people all over the world will... Make sure this time that it's a peace with wisdom. A peace where everyone in the world has what he needs. And then there'll never be Hitlers again. Never, never.
Bitte, nein! Stop! Stop!
Michael, listen to him. He's so frightened he can't talk. And I'm frightened too. I see it up ahead. The wall where the road turns. But I'm not going to turn, Michael. Straight ahead. He's got to die. God wants him to die.
Easy now. Easy. Put her down here.
Watch out for her.
Put her down gentle.
Poor thing.
Now the flashlight. Turn it on her face. I want to see.
Oh, no.
She's dead, huh?
No.
Huh?
Look, her eyes. She's opening her eyes.
She is.
No, lady. No, don't try to sit up.
No, she shouldn't sit up.
Now, quiet, everybody. She's trying to say something. What is it, miss?
I hear.
Miss, please, don't try to sit up. You're hurt. You're...
No, I'm all right.
But you can't be. That crash,
I'm
car...
all right, I tell you. Where is he?
He? Oh, who are you talking about?
The man in the car with me. Where is he? Don't just look at me. Tell me where he is.
Lady, I don't get it. A crack up like that, you ain't even scratched.
You tell me where he is. Somebody tell me, where is that man?
Lady, there wasn't anybody in the car with you.
What?
I tell you, there wasn't anybody in the car with you. was there?
No, I saw her. She was alone in the car.
Lady, don't look at me like that. I'm telling you I was by your car a minute after you smashed up. I give you my word there was nobody in the car with you.
I prayed to God that he was here, and he was.
Huh?
And then I prayed to God that he was dead. Maybe. Officer, help me up. Quickly.
But, lady, you shouldn't...
Quickly, I tell you. I've got to get into town. I've got to see tomorrow morning's newspaper.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Miss Betty Davis in Adolph and Ms. Runyon. With Miss Davis was Hans Conried. This is Arch Obler speaking, and the reason I'm talking directly to you this afternoon is that this play with Betty Davis was the final of this special series of wartime plays I've been writing and producing for the National Broadcasting Company these 20 weeks. I want to publicly thank Betty Davis, as well as the many other artists, great and small, who have contributed their efforts in these plays. Plays written for one purpose only, to help you and ourselves understand more clearly the enemy we are fighting against and the peace we are fighting for. To Gordon Jenkins, who has written so many brilliant musical scores, a low bow. And many thanks to Charles Danton's fine orchestra. Thanks, too, to Bob Brook, Frank Bingman, Harry Sass, and the Hollywood Victory Committee. When I originally started to write these plays, I intended to do only 8 of them. Because of the wonderful response from you and the radio editors all over the country, we have done 20 consecutive original plays. And so, for a while, goodbye and thank you.
Plays for Americans on Tuned to Yesterday from June 21st, 1942 on NBC. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.